about government, music, art, health, science, theology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 3rd on the West Coast. Now, November the 4th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome all those who are listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, especially those in the U.S. military around the world, and on Blog Talk Radio.com. Well, it's another interesting day. We've got more disinformation going out on the basis of what we've reported so far, and most of this was yesterday on my show with Dr. Atru Ott. I spent the early part of my day with him, and then I also had the opportunity on Monday to visit with Drew Raines on the Marines disquisition, and we were addressing many issues. I was actually on with Dr. Greg Evenson as well on that show, in case you missed the show that I did with Dr. Ott. And we have been discussing this ruse about a flu pandemic in the Ukraine. We've talked to some people there in the Ukraine, doctors, for example, that have told us that no such thing is going on. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't another pathogen that they're worried about. There seem to be people coming down with a type of pneumonia that's causing hemorrhaging in the lungs. Now, this is not normal pneumonia. Pneumonia usually results in the lungs filling up with fluids. And depending on how healthy you were before you came down with, let's say, a viral pneumonia, you may be able to hold many pounds of liquid in your lungs. Now, it's going to create a problem breathing, of course. But with the hemorrhaging, it's indicative of another pathogen being there, if these stories are at all true, that this is occurring. Hospitals are not filling up as reported. And now there's another ruse coming out that there's some 37,000 people that have come down with the swine flu in Belarus, and one person has died. Start using your discernment, folks. It's the same disinformation website that's putting out this trash, this rubbish, and it's making the rounds in email. And I've got credible scientists asking me my opinion about it. I've talked about it on a number of shows. Let's get on with the business at hand. First of all, we have to worry about what's going on in this country, and the fact that there are people still ignorantly accepting a swine flu vaccine. And then they wonder what's going on when they're lied to about the fact that maybe their children, maybe a pregnant wife or daughter or mother has died after receiving these vaccines. They're highly toxic. They're loaded with live organisms and adjuvants that attack one's immune system, one's nervous system, and one's brain. And if there's not a lot up there in the brain to start off with, you don't have much of a chance. I wouldn't get a flu vaccine. That said, we're going to bring on tonight's guest. He is the editor, journalist, webmaster for educate-yourself.org. He's also a metaphysical scientist, and he's been following not just the bird flu, swine flu, human flu, pandemic ruse, but he's been doing quite a bit of research in a lot of other areas. We haven't really planned anything, especially for tonight. However, you know, the the forum here on this show, we do bring you the truth. We don't ask you to believe anything. And if we say something or share something with you based upon our knowledge of the truth and our research, we encourage you to do the same thing. Simple as that. With that, I welcome to the show Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, how are you this evening?
Hi, Don. Thanks so much. Pleasure to be back with you again.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you back. You got to hear my intro here. Certainly, you know that there's a lot of fear-mongering going on and a lot of disinformation to support that fear. And as usual, the media is playing its role in assisting in the brainwashing and the mass mind control of millions and millions of people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm concerned about these very recent internet articles talking about what's being purported to be an unusual event in Ukraine. Now, what I have noticed is that on Jeff Rentz's website, he features information from Dr. Henry Nyman, who has been, as I suppose, a swine flu expert. He's got four interviews that he's done with Dr. Nyman for the last month or so, posted near the top of his website. So Dr. Nyman is posting articles talking about the Ukraine event, and his position has always been essentially the orthodox mainstream position. He will say in his interviews, you will come to the understanding after you listen to him for a while that he sees this swine flu as a, let's say, a natural event. He never in any of his talks has referred to the swine flu as being a bio-engineered pathogen. He tends to encourage people to get vaccinated, and if you do get symptoms, which he claimed he and his family had by mid-October, the show that he did on October 15th, you can clearly hear the man in the van's voice. He's recovering from what sounds like a flu situation. And he's encouraging people to take Tamiflu as a preemptive before you even get symptoms. And if you get it, of course, his recommendation is go straight for the Tamiflu. Now, I disagree with all of those ideas from him. First, it is not a natural event. Just like all of the emerging diseases that have sprung on the scene since, approximately the 1960s forward, virtually every event, new emerging disease, including AIDS, including Ebola, SARS, hantavirus, flesh-eating bacteria, we can go right down the list. They're all laboratory-created events, every single one of them.
Yes, and Nyman is stating in all of his writings that these are natural events.
Correct, right. He never, ever alludes to the notion or the voluminous documentation, for instance, that Dr. Truat points out that it was the Fort Detrick personnel working with CIA up in 1997, went up to Alaska and dug up the remains of a woman who had died in the 1918 Spanish flu, and they took tissues of her body back to Fort Detrick and using...
Keep in mind, if I can interrupt, keep in mind that this gentleman that did that was paid a substantial amount of money, well beyond his means, mm-hmm. and took the body and put it in his freezer, and actually had physical contact with it and came down with the disease himself before it was picked up. I just wanted to add that.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, yes.
Well, anyway, the fellow's name who led the team was Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger. And when they took it back to Fort Detrick, because of software that was obtained in the late 80s, early 90s, called Promise or Promis, depending on how you want to pronounce it, they had a computer program coupled with very advanced high-speed computers, far beyond anything the public is privy to. It goes beyond the Cray computers, in which you can make tremendous numbers of calculations in 1 second of time. Anyway, they were able to map out the entire genetic sequence of this 1918 Spanish flu virus. They can map it. Therefore, once they have a genetic map of it, they can replicate it. What they did, apparently, is they went a step further, and they made the virus even more virulent, even more immunity-crippling than the original. So they weaponized what was already a laboratory-created virus, because it was the Rockefellers were behind the creation of the pathogens that led to the outbreak of what's called the 1918 Spanish flu. That, too, was not a natural event. It was laboratory created. And it was the troops of World War One that were inoculated who came down with the Spanish flu and who acted as carriers and spreaders of the Spanish flu. So none of it was a natural event. So when you listen to Henry Nyman, however, he never brings any of these things up. It's always presents the data in a very, worrisome way. If you just listen to him and no one else, you get the idea that this is similar to that movie that came out in the 80s with Dustin Hoffman called Hot Zone.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember that movie at all, the fellow who wrote the book that the movie was based on was exposed by Dr. Len Horowitz in one of his DVDs that I think perhaps he did in the mid-90s or so, talking about AIDS and Ebola and other so-called emergent viruses, that they're all government laboratory-created events.
Mm-hmm.
And he pointed out that this author was, in fact, you know, a kind of a CIA type of guy whose job it was to plant this notion in the public's mind, ergo the big deal movie with a big name actor, to plant the idea in the public's mind that such a thing would evolve that way, because they had been planning this quote pandemic scenario for quite a long time. So they always seed these thoughts into the public's mind a generation or so before they actually spring the event on us. So, mm-hmm. You know, in the 80s now, 2009, so it's about right. They've sprung other movies on us that were really telegraphing what they planned to do. A night or two ago, one of the people you were interviewing mentioned the TV series V, which also occurred in the 80s, around 85, 86, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It went for a season or two. But it's really a relatively accurate description of the alien beings who've kind of taken over, if you will. We talk about them as reptilians, etc. And it's kind of a fairly accurate overview, if you will, of the reality of what we're experiencing. So they do this all the time. They want to prepare your psyche to accept this.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, anyway,
if I can interrupt just for a second, I just got a text message from the Ukraine, mm-hmm. we'll say, and there's one death in Moldova, mm-hmm. and then there's another death in the Ukraine. And these are not caused by pandemic outbreaks. Both are viral flu. And these were men who were sick already, in bad health, to begin with, is what the message says.
Well, that's very valuable, because that is a perfect
That's in Russia, okay?
Yes,
Moldova, and then, of course, we know where the Ukraine is. So I'm not even clear if that's in Kiev. That could be anywhere, but we're just talking about basic viral flu.
Well, that is a good example of the same sort of fudging of the data and the reportage that they've been doing here for the last few months.
Yes. Now, this was today, okay? Remember, there was an article that came out, 2 days ago? So,
right.
You know, describing 37,000 or thousands of people that were coming down with this.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital beds teeming with patients.
Mm-hmm.
And utter chaos.
Right.
And I exposed that today, earlier today on RBN, with Dr. A. Truat. I was on his show, The Story Behind the Story, and I exposed the source of that original article, as having come from InfoWars Ireland, which, suspiciously has an IP address in Paris, France, registered to one Alexander Jones in Austin, Texas. Total disinformation. Absolute bunk.
Just wanted to make that
clarification.
Very, very important piece of information. But what the text message is saying, though, is it's the same thing we saw here for the last few months. If you recall, when the so-called swine flu pandemic was first rearing its ugly head, late April, I guess, and then into May and June, of course, around June 6th, Margaret Chan, announces to the whole world there's a level 6 pandemic, completely made up out of whole cloth. There never was a pandemic. There certainly wasn't probably even anything that you can qualify as level 1. And they're simply, through propaganda, trying to create the image of a worldwide pandemic, which doesn't exist at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they were fudging the numbers greatly. You pointed out that back in that early period of the great pandemic outbreak, you were hearing reports out of New York that 800,000 were in hospitals. Then it was a million a day or so later.
Oh yeah, and this was attributed to having occurred in March, even though the Obama trip to Mexico took place in April.
April,
you remember that? And they're saying that these students from New York, I forget if it was 8 or 12 students that came down with the swine flu after having visited New York before Obama and his agent took the vials, the 3 vials from Fort Detrick to Mexico.
Right. That's a very important point to bear in mind.
These are lies. That's what I'm saying. These are all lies.
Yeah. But just while we're talking about it, I do want to get back to this point of the game,
mm-hmm.
of assigning, it seems, only every death. It's suddenly the swine flu. And, of course, people routinely die and have been for a long time of pneumonia. It's a common way to go. And apparently now pneumonia deaths are simply labeled swine flu deaths,
mm-hmm.
because they've been doing this outrageous, fraudulent reporting since this thing broke out. And I used the example, and by the way, since I've already alluded to Henry Nyman, on his website,
Recombinomics.com, yes.
Going back to, he has been posting MP3 files of audio interviews that he's done since January, when I first you know, went to his website. It was a couple months ago, maybe it was August or so, because I noticed he was featured a lot on Jeff Renz's website. So I started to read his articles, and while I didn't know anything about him at the time, I was a little, you know, disturbed by, I see the articles as kind of carrying the cover, you know, the CDC and the WHO's cover story about this, and there's no, you know, there's no mention about the dangers of the vaccine. So from the beginning, when I first started to read his stuff, I told myself, well, wait a minute, he's running the cover story. So on his website, he had posted the MP3 interviews that he did on this so-called outbreak, going back to January of this year. So what I did is I downloaded everyone that I could obtain from his website, and I listened to him. So you hear one show in January, and then I think it, from there it jumps to either March or April, and there's one or two shows, and then it goes to May and June, July, August, and somewhere in there, late August, early September, he's starting to have audio radio interviews with Jeff Renz, so he's posting those. So I've listened to not all, but a large proportion of this man's radio interviews, and it is he who was reporting in the earlier phases. It was he who was saying, well, gee, this thing is really spreading like wildfire. And they talked about this school, and maybe the same case you're talking about, perhaps in Connecticut or New York, in which he claims all these students had come down and they went on a trip somewhere and they came back and he's really hyping it through the roof. And at the time, I started digging. I started to look up the internet articles. I started reading, and I could see there's a huge exaggeration between what he's saying on the interview and what the actual article said as far as how many kids were ill, what the symptoms were, you know, et cetera. So I then paid even closer attention to what he was saying, and he spends a lot of his time at that period anyway, when he was doing these radio shows with relatively unknown, you know, internet type radio shows. He has another gal, his name is Sandy, who's running a website called flutrackers.com, and they kind of do a lot of these interviews as a team. She, you know, this lady, Sandy, explaining how, boy, this thing is really taking off, and they're getting reports from here, and that they have their people getting briefings every morning from the CDC, and they get so apparently they're right in the loop. They're getting everything from officialdom about how this thing is really taking off and spreading. So,
If I may interject here, it seems to me, I recall the CDC said there was nothing going on whatsoever in the beginning of all
the
this.
The CDC has been all over the map. The CDC, like the WHO, but particularly the CDC, has reversed themselves repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
They would say something very worrisome,
mm-hmm,
and very startling, and then reverse themselves completely, sometimes days later.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say that hundreds have succumbed or died. I remember this. The fantasies with the numbers out of Mexico in the first week it was, you know, that was being reported. I have the articles. I've saved them. In the very first day when this was showing up, I think they zoomed it. They started with 16 dead. And within a couple days, the CDC, the mainstream media, is reporting over 400 dead. And then when other calmer voices started to challenge this, without explanation, without apology, the CDC just suddenly rolls it back. Oh, actually, it's only 3 dead. Without a word of apology explanation, they skip back from 400 dead. Now they're down to 3. Now they're jumping. And same with the media. There's no apology about these wild exaggerations in the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They just carry on and act as if, you know, it's just what? Just an inadvertent mistake? Come on.
Yes. I'd like to make a distinction about the work that Henry Nyman is doing or the mission he's on, because there are many, you know, there's this phrase that we use often when we're exposing corruption, called lying by omission. Nyman is being interviewed on the internet. Nyman is posting these things on the internet, knowing and the powers that be know full well that the real truth and the real communication that's going on in the world is not coming from the mainstream media, but from the alternative media on the internet, websites like yours or mine or Drew Raines, amd.elequity.com, and to a big extent, Jeff Rentz's website. Jeff has a mixture of things, and I have to take issue with what Nyman is publishing. Mm-hmm. Now, I began my investigation well into his and I'm referring to Nyman's mission. I was seeing too many discrepancies between what was being reported and how it was happening. It didn't make sense. It couldn't be happening this way, the way it's been described in the media. And I looked up, you mentioned this flutrackers.com website that's run by Sharon Sanders in Winter Park, Florida.
Right, Sharon, that's it.
She's listed in the White Pages as the president. Now, when have you ever seen a president of a website?
Right, right.
I find this kind of interesting, but she's not listed that way per se in the Who Is search that I conducted. But it tells you that these people are aggrandizing themselves, trying to make themselves look like experts. I'd like to know who the vice president and the treasurer and the secretary are of such an organization. Mm-hmm. When you run a search on Sharon Sanders, there's on the first page of the search, this is a people search, you come up with 100 names, and that one name actually has an address, an age. So you can't identify who this is other than this person shows up in many places where there are forts, where there's a contingency of people who are operating behind the scenes and in the money laundering. I don't know that she's involved in this, but I find it interesting that she shows up at Air Force bases, Army bases, even closed military bases, where they're known to deal in drugs, illegal drugs, like Homestead Air Force Base in Florida, which is southwest of Miami. And the target of many investigations and many hit pieces about CIA drug planes. So this is obviously an intelligence black op. This whole thing is designed to brainwash people. And that is the issue here. Now, Nyman, in lying by omission, not telling the public that he is the founder of Progenix, which has become Ligand Pharmaceuticals, which licenses the technologies that he developed to cause what is described as cooperative bonding between RNA and heavy metals, which, by the way, in the case of thimerosal, mercury, goes directly to one's brain and causes all sorts of health problems, not to mention what all the other adjuvants and the live virus do to the recipient of one of these vaccines. He does not disclose that he stands to make probably hundreds of millions of dollars in royalties from the administration of these vaccines to the general public worldwide. So there is definitely a conflict of interest. That's the point I'm making there. You're not getting paid for putting this information out. Neither am I. Neither is A. True Odd, for that matter. Mm-hmm. I should say Dr. Odd. He gets paid for the things that he does in the expertise of his medical discipline. Mm-hmm. But he's sounding the alarm. And take all of this into consideration, is it, I'll play the devil's advocate and ask a rhetorical question. Is Dr. Henry Nyman getting his information from IBM Corporation, or did they get their information in 2006, which I published on my website? Did they get that information from Nyman? It's a very good question, because they published, for new listeners, they published an article, or I should say a memorandum to the high-level personnel in their French offices, telling them that there was a 100% certainty of a worldwide pandemic. And they said this in 2006. Now, did they predict this with computers? Well, certainly if they've created this in a lab and they intend to release it, yeah, they can crunch the numbers in the computer. But the computer only makes determinations and calculations based on the data that's programmed into it. It doesn't just come out of nowhere and say, hey, by the way, I thought I'd tell you guys, you know, before you have your morning coffee break, there's going to be a pandemic in the next 5 years, 100% chance. And you should know that, because I'm a computer and I can figure these things out for myself. Absolutely hogwash that that's what occurred. So how is it that a former hardware manufacturer and software manufacturer, and a vendor of typewriters and liftoff tape, how is it, you know, in back in the 80s, that was their big cash cow, the Selectric 3 typewriter. How is it that they come up with this data and publish it and don't alert the world about this? They just alert their people. Mm-hmm. It's a smoking cannon. It's not a smoking gun.
Yeah, all you have to do is apply basic logic to these pieces of information, and anyone of average intelligence can clearly see that these people are on the inside loop of a conspiracy. And they're aware of the agenda, and they've been made privy to this information. You know, these Bilderberger meetings that they have every year, you know, they're not talking about the weather. You know, they're plotting out the planned crisis events, including wars, that will advance their agenda of a one world government. I mean, that's what it's always been about since they started all of these meetings. You can go back to the British Round Table at the end of the 19th century, and then you can go forward to the creation of the various Rockefeller, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, etc. These are coordinating bodies that are playing various logistic roles in bringing in the one world government.
Mm-hmm.
They're coordinating their agendas at these secret meetings. And depending on which group you're a part of, and depending on what strata of the organization you're in, you're given certain information, and other information is not made known to you. So, but obviously, if all of this requires planning and individuals and troops to carry out the agenda. So they just can't plot it without having people on the ground to carry out their orders. So that's the purpose of these groups, such as the Bilderbergers. They're essentially strategizing. They're adjusting the agenda to, you know, reactions from the public. And of course they, you know, this is where, you know, the decision as to who will be the next president is made, usually decades in advance. And they just, run their well-groomed, well-oiled puppets on both sides of the political spectrum. There's factional infighting among these elite groups, you know, as to, so you have like the Clinton part of the Illuminati, ostensibly anyway, vying for power with, well, I was going to say the, you know, with the Bushes, but that's only a surface appearance because, you know, I can't imagine, in earlier times, at least during the, you know, times of, let's say, Truman, of a outgoing Democratic president being buddy buddy with a you know, left office Republican president. I mean, you never saw that, but you see Bush senior and Clinton, like, you know, they're the two best buddies you've ever seen. I mean, for the last since both of them been out of office, I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, they're the two biggest drug dealers probably on the planet, too.
Everything, but, you know, it just shows you that, you know, how, you know, they're with, it should be obvious to people that they're part of the same club, the One World Order Illuminated club. And it's so obvious. Just look at them, the way they behave and the activities, the money-making activities they jointly are part of to, you know, to build up their fortunes even more beyond what they gained while in office. And good knows, Clinton, you know, went from a, you know, a non-millionaire to a mega-millionaire during his term in office. And then once he got out of office, the speaking engagements, you know, a couple million a pop. I mean, the man never made so much money in his life as he did once he became president.
Well, this is the reward for being
exactly,
corrupt.
For playing ball. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, anyway. Now, I didn't mean to sidetrack you, you know,
yeah, we
into these details, but just for the sake of, you know, the new listeners that are listening in and maybe are a bit behind the eight ball because they haven't... I haven't heard this slant on all of this.
Yeah.
You know, there's an agenda. If you step back, aside from all of the fear that they're trying to create, and you watch, just observe what's happening, without being emotional about it,
yeah.
you begin to see a pattern, that these people really, they don't mean what they say. If they're lying to us, they obviously don't intend for us to know the truth. So what is the truth? And there are aspects about who is controlling them, who's pushing their buttons or pulling their strings, maybe a better way to put it, because as you aptly described, these are puppets for someone else. And it's permissible on this show to talk about it. Tuat and I talked about this on RBN today. It's an increasingly frequent topic. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, of course, you know, in a way, you're sort of touching on the larger picture of the New World Order agenda, which is to eliminate sovereign countries, eliminate borders, and to create
I'm actually going beyond that. You and I and others have talked about this quite a bit.
Well, let me just finish this thought, and then I'll go into the alien connection.
Oh, okay.
the goal is to eliminate sovereign independent countries so that the people within each country, rather than they deciding on the course that their country and will take in all matters of life, you know, education, military, whatever, that these unelected elites will dictate the terms of life to us. And because there are, you know, both cultural and regional difficulties in homogenizing every place in the world to function exactly the same. There'll be three broad areas of influence. There's overall Europe, overall the two Americas, and overall Asia. So those would be the three subdivisions of if the New World Order happens. And but so there'll be three kind of subdivisions. And then within each larger zone, there's subzones within that. For instance, they've divided the United States in their planning maps into the same 10 regions that corresponds exactly with the same 10 areas of influence that Satanists have divided North America into. Exact same same boundaries. Because, of course, this group are Satanists. And so it makes sense that they're going to adhere to those outlines. So we're gradually being led towards this event. That's everything that it, Codex, harmonizing, so-called harmonizing the European Union, what they hope to achieve here in North America called the North American Union. All of these efforts are to eliminate borders, eliminate sovereignty of individual nations. Now that in itself should, in most cases, bother anyone who's hearing it. Because as much as I wish to be at peace and be able to, you know, easily travel to any country of the world and spend my money and live there or enjoy that place, their food, the beauty of their locale, their history, etc. As much as I wish to do that, I don't want to be homogenized into one world political body, and I certainly don't want my nation to be harmonized with Mexico and South America and Canada. No, I like the United States to remain the sovereign country it is. I want Mexico to remain a sovereign country. Everyone who's currently a country of their, you know, with their own borders, that's exactly what I, and I'm sure most people in the world prefer. Russians want to be, live in Russia. They don't want to be part of a larger body. I'm sure when it was called the Soviet Union, the true hearts of Russian people or Ukrainian people or Hungarian or Polish or anyone who was part of the Soviet Union, is that what they wanted? No way. Polish people want to call their country Poland. Czech people want to call it Czechoslovakia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Everyone wants the identity of their own nation, their own cultural heritage. This is the way human beings prefer to function, prefer to live. We want our own heritage. We don't want it to be all, you know, amalgamated and homogenized into some new world order, satanic, totalitarian, feudal system. No one wants that. So why are we allowing these people to advance the agenda? Now, there are alien overlords who are the master puppeteers. It shouldn't be news to anyone who's aware of the New World Order takeover. Not at this point. You know, the information has been out there for a long time. And it is these alien, negative aliens, there's good aliens, I call them positive aliens, but the ones that are in bed with the Illuminati are this negative group. We mostly refer to the reptilian group as being kind of in charge. And their agenda is to take over this planet. And they've taken over other planets and they turn them into prison colonies is what they do. And that this group is not highly intelligent, physically large people, if we're going to call them that, but they're technologically advanced, of course. They can operate in both the third and fourth dimension, so they can, you know, go to a higher vibrational plane than we can see, so they can cloak themselves. They can also, they have the capabilities to put on a mask, a human mask, so they appear to be human, but they're actually a reptilian entity within a human shell. And from time to time, they transform partly or completely into the reptilian manifestation. We call that shape-shifting. Now, with rare exception, the majority of the world's leaders are either full-blooded reptilians or they're hybrids. They have a combination, you know, DNA mix of both reptilian and human. So some of them can shape-shift, some can't. But they're part of this reptilian group, and they have special abilities. They can do this masking, this cloaking. They have advanced psychic abilities, to some extent telepathy, etc. But what they don't have is they don't have a developed, advanced heart. So they're spiritually speaking, very primitive compared to the spiritual development, or the soul development, I should say, of human beings, of genuine human beings, not entities who appear to be human, but are in fact are, you know, this reptilian group. So there's still a fair number of people on the earth who are genuine humans, but this alien group has been infiltrating and producing hybrids of themselves for many decades now. And the numbers have, you know, have been growing exponentially. So that today there's a very large proportion of people in the world are not 100% human. They're a mix. And a few years ago, some people have the ability, because they can see it in the aura, they can recognize a reptilian person. Carol Croft, the wife of Don Croft, is one such person. And we were at a local mall about 4 years ago having a lunch, you know, outside tables. And as people was walking by, you know, I'm in Orange County, California, she would say, you know, that person's a reptilian. And the majority of people who walk by the table, she said, they're reptilians. She said, you got a lot of reptilians here. And, you know, judging by the behavior I've noticed in the years I've been here, I have to agree with that.
Uh-huh.
So there's then this growth in population of these human alien hybrids among us. And in most cases, they're under mind control. They're part of this takeover agenda. So they're either cooperating with it actively or passively, but they're certainly not resisting it. And they're certainly not doing anything to stop it. So we really... this has to be a wake-up call to human beings.
Yes, and we're not bringing out this information in response to movies that come out. We're sounding the alarm, but at the same time, the movies that are coming out are designed to counter what we're saying.
Yeah.
Because of the inherent belief system that movies are all about fiction.
Yes,
and
right,
special effects.
Right, exactly, right.
Just a quick interruption here. In the area of Ternopil Oblast in the Ukraine, also known as Ternopilshina, there are reported 26 deaths. This is the northern half of, it's in the northern half of the Ukraine, what you would call the West Central region. At one time before World War I, it was ruled by Austria-Hungary. So this area is extremely rural, and they're converting barracks into hospitals. Now, that would imply that somehow the military is involved, but this is viral pneumonia, it's being reported as.
Yes.
Okay. So, again, we're getting confirmation. We're getting specific information that's quite a bit different from the fear-mongering that's going on. I would just question, you know, what would somebody pretending to be in Ireland who has a website in France and lives in Austin, Texas, know about what's going on in the Ukraine?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's wonderful. In fact, I was going to put out an appeal for... I do get You know, I when I check my website statistics, it'll tell me the countries that visit my website. It'll give me the total number, but it also gives me a chart of the top 30. And to my surprise of all, for the last year or year and a half or two, I've noticed that the Russian Federation is always among that top 30. Now, of course, everything on my website is English, and I had previously assumed that while, you know, you figure a lot of Germans, for instance, could probably speak and read English, my thought is that very few Russians can read or speak English. So either I'm wrong, or there's many more English-speaking or perhaps even Westerners living in Russia than I'm aware of who are going to my website. I don't know.
Well, we have, let me just say this, we have a lot of people in Russia that listen to Drew Rain's show. Mm-hmm. And as a consequence, that are listening to this show.
Yes.
And they speak English.
Yes. So, yeah. Actually, I was going to do that on my site. I was going to make an appeal for anyone who reads my site or sees the message, if they're living in Kiev, to send me an email and give me their appraisal of what they see themselves, you know, in terms of this. I believe something is being distributed there that is causing people to get ill. I believe that's going on. And what bothers me, though, is that when people like Henry Nyman present his version of the story, it's always in an alarmist way. He's doing what he's been doing, you know, he's takes the same position that it's just a sort of as he does with the swine flu in this country, that this is kind of a runaway train, and that, you know, the message that you're getting, either it's said directly or it's implied, is get the vaccine, protect yourself, start taking that Tamiflu as a prophylactic. That's what I'm hearing from Henry Nyman over and over again. Mm-hmm. Whether he says it explicitly or implies it, that's the message.
Yes.
And that's what really bothers me.
Now that's being described as a pandemic. Now let's just take this area in the Ukraine, Oblast. Oblast has 9 regions, and 70% of the people in the Ternopil Oblast region live in Oblast, or let's say 700,000. There's an approximate population of 1 million people there. Out of 1 million people, 26 people have come down with viral pneumonia. Mm. Pneumonia now, not swine flu.
Pneumonia, right.
Okay. What, can you calculate that? I mean, it's going to be 0.000001.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. I mean, in terms of percentage of the population, it's statistically insignificant.
Yes, yes. It almost as if it didn't happen. Of course, we're not belittling what may be happening.
No, because I believe there is something being distributed there. I put up a couple emails that I've gotten that are talking about just recently in the last couple of days, in which an unusual fog or mist is being fog or mist at ground level,
mm-hmm,
is being described in areas and at times of the day and in locations where normally you couldn't possibly have a natural fog there. So something is either being airily sprayed in that area to create said mist or fog, or it's being generated on the ground level, one of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But people are seeing it, and it's, in one case, the guy in Louisiana sent me an email. He says that he had to slow down to a crawl on this highway and drive through, along with everyone else who was on the freeway, drive through what looked like this foggy area for quite some distance before they exited. Now, naturally, they're breathing, you know, this substance while they're slowly crawling through this area to get out of. And he says it's hot. It's in the middle of the day. He says there's no way there can be a fog here. It was created. You know, it was so. And then I had another guy who also remarked something very strange. He saw that looked like a very unusual, almost opaque fog over a mountainous area. And he said, you know, he's one of the guys who regularly emails me, a guy named Keith. And so I'm curious about this. I'm curious if they haven't, in fact, got a variation or a new spin on chemtrails, so that rather than spraying something so high that's greatly dissipating, because it's that somehow they're concentrating some sort of mist that's virtually on ground level, so people, you know, have to drive through it. I don't know. You know, I could be completely off on this. I'm just going by what they're telling me. I haven't seen it myself here, so I'm just going by what I'm reading in the email. But it looks suspicious. So I want to. So in these reports that were on the internet about Kiev, they said that the local residents, this is something that I read 4 or 5 days ago, were complaining about small planes, a number of them spraying. So
yeah, well, we determined that from our live sources, there are real people in the Ukraine, that was a fabrication.
Hmm.
And it came from that source, the mystery website. Okay.
Right. Okay, so,
yeah.
Okay, that you know, that may well be the case, and I, again, I'm a little surprised that because, you know, Nyman's sort of featured on Jeff Rentz's site, and Jeff Rentz, you know, has a lot of quality, let's say, alternative news there to be sure, and you'll see in some places on his sites that You know, there's even a banner there and an ad for some sort of natural type event of products. Don't take the swine flu vaccine. And yet he has these articles and these interviews with Nyman that are essentially encouraging people to take the swine flu vaccine and buy the whole nine yards of this being a uncontrollable Andromeda strain. We can't stop it. End of the world. You know. Pandemic scenario. He's got both there, and it's kind of strange that, you know, both ends of the spectrum of the story are presented there. And so, of course, I just was at his website today, and, you know, he's got a graft. He's playing up the Kiev thing like, you know, it's a real serious blowout there, and, it's, you know, it's bad. And he's talking about Joseph Moishe's event that happened about 3 months ago, you know, and this man, which of course happened. I mean, I'm sure the man was probably the individual that called into Truat's show and told him about this weaponized stuff. And he specifically named a development lab in Ukraine, et cetera. So these reports are coming from the Ukraine. So, you know, they're probably definitely doing something there. But the last thing I would do if I was a Ukrainian civilian is I certainly wouldn't get a vaccine for anything.
I don't think they intend to. In fact, we receive reports that they're using colloidal silver generators.
Of course. I mean, something as simple as that. It's a very broad spectrum germicidal substance that, you know, I mean, the pharmaceuticals, the FDA, you name it, mainstream orthodox medicines hates colloidal silver because it's a basic element of nature, and the FDA certainly has tried to bring it under their control. They certainly have tried to call it a drug, and now they have shills in who are claiming to be part of environmentally concerned groups who now want to classify colloidal silver as some sort of secret, dastardly nanotechnology development that's going to, undermine all of our health and safety. I mean, this campaign that started, I don't know, some months ago, 6 or 7, 8 months ago, to brand colloidal silver as almost a nanotechnology weapon. I mean, it's insane when you read this hokum from these obviously propaganda shills pretending to be environmentalists. This particular group in Australia, that has been jumping on the bandwagon of this. So yeah, for anyone who's hearing this interview, colloidal silver is a easy to make a substance that you can get your own generator. It's easy to obtain, and colloidal silver has amazing properties. We should probably just do a show sometime talking about the germicidal attributes of colloidal silver. Beyond that, another very interesting thing, besides its ability to interfere with the reproductive mechanism of virus, bacteria, parasites, fungus, etc., moles, besides interfering with, so it doesn't, you know, attack the germ directly per se, as much as prevent it from continuing to reproduce itself. But beyond that, colloidal silver, silver has amazing tissue restorative properties. Now, this is a very unusual topic, but it can literally speed up the healing process of damaged tissue. Example, if you were to get sunburned, or let's say, you know, you're white-skinned and it's the summer and you're going out bare sleeve and you're on a picnic or something, one of these deals in which your skin isn't prepared to, you know, through gradual acclimation, you haven't, you know, tanned yourself, so you're going from lily white out into a sun. Well, after about 15 minutes or so, if it's, you know, in the high noon, you know, if the sun's high in the sky, you're going to start getting burned. And if you stay out there for an hour and a half, you're definitely going to get burned. And you're going to be feeling it. You're going to see your skin's red after a couple hours. Well, what I found out through first, I read this many years ago, because Bob Beck, Dr. Bob Beck got me on the road to realizing how valuable colloidal silver is. But I had read it that, you know, it will speed up the rejuvenation or the restoration of normal tissue function. So if you got burned, and if you were to, oh, you can use other things besides colloidal silver, but if you apply colloidal silver, let's say aloe or other soothing lotion, your reddening would clear up much faster than if you just use, let's say, aloe alone, or, you know, or other, some other salve, you know, to soothe the burn pain. When I was a kid, we used to use butter because we didn't know what else to use. But a colloidal silver speeds up. Now, here's a trick I learned. I went on an event, you know, myself and my wife, and we're all white skinned, you know, and we're out in the sun all day. And I started to feel it after about an hour or so, short sleeve. And I had a spray bottle of colloidal silver with me, and I just started to spray my arms, my wife's arms, etc. We were out in that sun all day, maybe 5-6 hours, and I just kept on spraying on the colloidal silver maybe every 30 minutes. We never got burned. We never got red. It acted as a perfect sunscreen almost. Now, it doesn't really have a screening function, but I'm just guessing, but it's apparently repairing the damage that the sun is causing to the skin as fast as the damage is occurring. We never got sunburned. We should have been sunburned, but we were not. So I really learned a very valuable lesson that day. And, of course, they use silver in bandages to speed up healing of burn victims. It prevents, the biggest problem with the burn victim is for the healing areas to not come down with a bacteria infection, because there's all that, you know, from a burn, there's dead tissue there on the surface, and there's no skin to protect bacteria from invading, so, you know, people often die from an infection. Well, if you put a dressing with silver, it prevents the growth of the pathogens, so you don't get an infection, but it also speeds up the healing. It also reduces scar formation big time. The pharmaceutical people do not want you to know these facts that I'm just talking about, colloidal silver, because anybody can obtain silver, pure silver wire, and it's a simple electrolysis process for the generator. I mean, everyone and his mother is offering a generator, so it's easy to get a generator, and it's way too expensive to buy it in a health food store. I mean, it's obscenely expensive. Mm-hmm. You could make it for pennies to the gallon. So, yeah, colloidal silver, everyone should know. It works like gangbusters, and they have a whole army of shills on the internet trying to convince you it's dangerous, it doesn't work, it'll turn you blue, it'll do this, it'll do that. It's all scare stories to keep you away from colloidal silver.
Yes, yes. Now, I received a series of email from, what's interesting is I'm getting email on on these lies, and my regular email is not getting to or arriving from people that
That's
I want to get it from.
That's right. That's
know?
Right.
Isn't that ironic?
That's so ironic, yeah.
I referred to this, and I double-checked the figures, and this was as of November 1st at 2,339 hours, okay? So we're talking about almost 20 minutes to midnight going into the 2nd yeah. of November. Mm-hmm. It was reported in the last 24 hours. Some words are missing here, by the way. It says, in last 24 hours, an unknown virus, presumed pneumonic plague. Oh, now they're giving it a plague, I guess. Pneumonia can't just be pneumonia. It has to be a plague.
Right.
Infected another, get this, it's saying another 37,000, as if they're...
This is the next lot of victims, yeah.
Yes, and killed 12 more people, okay? Now, the report I read some 10 or 15 minutes ago stated that 26 people have died from a viral pneumonia, not a pneumonic plague. Now, what they're saying here then is the authorities deny that this is pneumonic plague. I agree with that. And insist that people die from influenza, pneumonia, and ARI. Now, I guess I'm a bit behind the eight ball.
Something respiratory infection, I would say.
Oh, acute respiratory
infection.
There
you go.
There you go. Okay. There was no reference to it, so I'm, I guess you just have to. Everything is three letters, you see. Alphabet agency. it's easy. No one's dying from RLS, though. I'm glad to hear that. Restless leg syndrome.
Okay.
All right. Then they go on to say, now, this is a commentary from the person that sent this email. It seems to me there is big trouble brewing in the Ukraine. Like there isn't big trouble brewing anywhere else on the planet. Apparently, news, and this is bold now, news is being intensely repressed. No, actually, what's happening is it's being intensely misrepresented. And subsists of nothing but disinformation. It would seem they are bordering on chaos. Oh, my goodness. Here we go. As Moshe, see last section on his connection, just pointed out and, in fact, warned about years ago. Oh, somebody knows this guy now who we're determining is probably a Mossad agent. This person is relying on all this information. It would appear to be a manufactured bioweapon. Big Baxter and other bioweapons presence there, and it sounds extremely nasty. Now, this Moshe, Joseph, they're referring to Joseph Moshe, the guy who contacted Dr. H. Huad and said that he had damning information about the creation of these viruses in laboratories, in military laboratories, and he had documentation, proof, that he was going to take to a federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. So when he gets to Los Angeles, the SWAT teams come out, start bashing in the windows of his Volkswagen Beetle, and throw tear gas in there, and he just sits there.
Yeah, that was an amazing.
Well,
amazing
everyone's assuming it's tear gas, mind you, because they see something. Okay, mm-hmm. you don't know for sure that it was tear gas, but let's say it was. Mm-hmm. And he was trained to withstand it, and he just sat there like a zombie. Mm-hmm. The White House charges that he made threats. I don't know what the threats are, but to me, it's a big psyop. The reason they portray him as a kook and somebody who's threatening the president or somebody at the White House is to discredit the information that Dr. A. Truat, who happened to be in Baltimore at the time this occurred, they're trying to discredit his information because his information is damning to Big Pharma.
Mm-hmm.
It's damning to people like Dr. Henry Nyman. And so that whole thing is a psyop. Here, this guy's a terrorist. He wants to kill the president. Let's bomb his car with tear gas. It's ridiculous. It's fraudulent, okay? And now, I'm not saying that the guy didn't have information, but he walks into a trap willingly. I mean, who would do that? If unless it was intended to be a psyop. Look, this is your job. You just sit there. We're going to do this to you. We're going to do that. We'll pick you up. You'll be fine. You'll take a shower. Get everything out of your eyes. We'll wash your eyes out. You'll be fine. And in the meantime, now, the person that contacts Dr. Ott with all this mind-blowing information that's going to be filed in the federal court in Los Angeles with with the district attorney's office or federal prosecutor is going to be the one thing that's going to turn this thing, this whole ruse, upside down. However, you have to make the guy look like a kook, and therefore his information looks kooky as well. And I think that's what actually occurred. I shared that with Dr. Ott on his show today, in fact. Mm-hmm. And I don't even think he thought about it that way. But certainly he said it made sense. So.
Yeah, well, it is a possible scenario. I mean, I gotta.
This is just a big psyop on people to create a lot of fear and confusion and chaos.
Yeah, that's possible. I mean, I don't know if that is the case here, but I'll agree with you. It's certainly logical, and it's typical of how they operate.
Mm-hmm.
They do run what appears to be a legitimate event so that most people will buy it. So yeah, it's possible, Don.
Yeah.
So you might really be onto something there. I don't know.
And then you have to ask the question, why does that have to occur in Los Angeles, of all places? Well, they got the media there. Boy, they got tons of TV networks that can go right there and film the whole thing and show it on TV, which is exactly what they did.
Yeah.
So, we're sorting through all this stuff here, and hopefully it's becoming clear to the listeners that this is just about making money and gaining more control over the lives of people who should be sovereign.
Yeah, what I'm concerned about is how many people take this vaccine in this country and other countries around the world, and what will their long-term prospects be? How many of those who take the vaccine will have a immediate or very short-term serious allergic reaction similar to what Desiree Jennings suffered? I mean, it's possible, given the right people helping her, particularly homeopathy, she might be able to reverse that damage that took place to her, to her nervous system as a result of foolishly buying into the propaganda of taking that vaccine. But, you know, if you're one of these individuals who are led to believe this is going to protect you and you're elderly and you've already got health problems, this thing could kill you. And people are dying. There have been, I don't know, four individuals in Sweden, I was reading, this was 3 or 4 days ago, had already died directly or within hours of taking that thing. And the most incredible article that I've seen yet, I took it off Jeff Rentz's a few days ago. I reproduced it with a long essay about it. We talked to you about it a few days ago. But there's these two gals in the British publication, UK, The Telegraph, who put up this article in which they're quoting. There's a Dr. Black in a Cincinnati children's hospital, and there's a couple doctors in the UK being quoted, are essentially saying it's just the people who die in the immediate wake of taking the flying flu vaccine, it's just a coincidence. It's just purely a happenstance. It's chance. And then they're the most incredibly insane statistics they're reporting that this, this is, well, they're pointing out this Dr. Black was saying, well, in a million pregnant women, there's going to be a certain percentage that are going to have spontaneous abortions and are projected. And I love it when they use these projections, these computer projections, which have no connection to reality whatsoever. They never did. They never will. But they use them all the time. And he says, we're projecting that per million, we're going to get like 347 or 397 spontaneous abortions. But Dr. Black said, that's about the same number that would spontaneously abort anyway. So, statistically, it's meaningless. You're just as safe, by taking the vaccine than, because you have a, well, statistically, that's nonsense. Anyone who has a brain knows that you can play games with statistics. You can make any story you want just using statistics. And then when you're making up the statistics, it's far easier than if you have to use hard data. And anyone who knows how to play, play the, let's say, the convincing game, anyone who knows the basic rules of salesmanship knows, how easy it is to manipulate people. Because particularly when you present it as simplistically as this guy was doing.
Oh, yeah. So it's like taking the full purchase price and breaking it down into monthly payments.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many techniques to fool gullible, naive people.
And then put it on a credit card and even reduce the payments that way.
So this, this article just incensed me. It just incensed me. It's the typical of the utter rubbish that they're printing in newspaper and internet articles by the pharmaceutical shills. It's just garbage. It's so illogical. It's so unfounded. It's so untrue. It's so, far-fetched, ridiculous, absurd. And yet they publish this stuff like it's as if it's fact, as if it's science, as if it's the opinion of the professional medical community. And oh man, I get so angry when I see that garbage. So I just had to write a long essay. It's on my current news page there.
Yeah. Let me interrupt for a second, Ken, here.
Yeah.
In our closing minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a question from Gary in Arkansas. Gary calls in from time to time. I always have something to add to the conversation. He asks a very thoughtful question. Being that we're intermingled with reptilians, is the worldwide DNA database a way for them to identify who's reptilian and who's not? I would answer this, but I'd like you to answer it after me. And first of all, say they know who the reptilians are. They know who the hybrids are, and their offspring. And the reason for this is because of certain difficulties that they have, but in reproducing. But their intention here on this planet is to basically procreate out the original DNA and just manipulate it until they create the kind of beings that they want. Now, the worldwide database gives them complete access to cloning. You give them your DNA and they can clone you. Or it gives them the complete access to do any kind of experiments on every kind of DNA that exists, like what we're going through right now. So in answer to Gary's question, that's what I offer. What say you, Ken?
Well, first, yes, everything you said I fully agree with. And yes, it is a huge mistake to let any authorities obtain your DNA. It is a huge mistake.
Even Maury Povich and Jerry Springer?
Yes. what they did, it used to be, in earlier times, even fingerprinting was just in situations where you were a convicted criminal, then you got fingerprinted. And then they changed it to a situation if you were merely arrested and booked for something, they then took your fingerprints. And then it, you know, the years rolled by when they got DNA analysis cranked up. It used to be that only convicted felons were required to, you know, give a saliva DNA swab. And then they changed it so that if you're merely arrested, they're taking your DNA. You are sunk if they've got your DNA, because not only can they map you, replicate you, manipulate you, with the DNA, you can be sub, with the DNA, they have computer programs in which they can subject you to psychotronic assault, and they could zero the signal in on you because your DNA is the receiver, and they have the transmitter at the same frequency, the frequency being your DNA.
Or they can set you up as having committed a crime that you didn't commit.
You got it, and they've been doing it. They've been doing it. So I would caution anyone, if you're hearing this, do not surrender your DNA, no matter what you're told, no matter. And of course, this is the reason why they have been running these program for children. You know, this way, you know, we're going to
if get they're the lost, DNA
and
the yeah.
kid, right, and they're lost or kidnapped, we're going to be able to identify them. BS. This is all about. Their goal is to get everyone's DNA in government computers. That's the goal. So I realized that a long time ago, and they can get your DNA from, you know, the conventional way they're doing it now is with saliva swab. But if they have your blood, they've got your DNA. If they have your hair, they got your DNA, a piece of your skin, a piece of your nail, they can get your DNA. So bear that in mind. If you can avoid it, do never, ever surrender a blood sample, DNA, your swab, or any of that. Once you're in government computers, you're never going to get out of it. And believe me, your DNA signature is going to be distributed to dozens of computers around the world.
Yeah.
Be in every major data bank that all governments have. And it's real dark. You know, you want to avoid that.
Now, I mentioned the fact that, Gary asked the question, you know, does this provide them with a way of identifying who's reptilian? Well, they know.
Yeah, first, let's just answer the question. Yeah. Yes, of course, by the way, just to be perfectly honest about it, though, even though I'm talking about us as human beings, in fact, we have, because, a lot of people find this, you know, hard to take in, maybe don't want to believe it, but it's what I think is the case. Humans were brought to this planet, and I believe, the human race on this planet, I'm reasonably convinced, goes back for many, many millions of years. I mean, we're talking many millions of years. We've had high civilization rise and completely be submerged without any trace of them. And then, you know, we go through the caveman period and then rise and fall. This has happened repeatedly throughout. But I believe originally we were brought to this planet, and I believe there was, let's say, genetic tinkering with the original human DNA structure with aliens. And so I believe the human brain is the best example. The human brain is made up of three discrete brains that are, you know, on one on top of each other, kind of like those Russian boxes, doll boxes, okay? And that other creatures have a single unitary structure on the brain. Why is it they call the limbic, which is the lowest part of the brain, you know, starting from the brain stem and then it flowers into the brain of the brain corpus proper, that lower part is called, they call it the limbic system, but they also call it the reptilian brain.
Right. Yes.
So I believe, in fact, we do all have reptilian DNA in us. I believe that's the case. So that doesn't alarm me or worry me. However, what I think they're doing with these breeding programs is that they're jacking up the percentage big time, so that the reptilian groups have what's called a group mind hive mentality. So rather than think independently, they think as a group, just as the word implies. And as a result, as I said earlier, I didn't really finish the point, but spiritually speaking, these reptilian groups are in a very primitive level.
Or and, devoid of spirit, even.
Well, I wouldn't say devoid. I wouldn't say that. But I would say they're at a very low level, so that the what we call the base emotions, or sometimes we call them the vices, but the emotions that lead to negative ends, you know, lust, greed, you know, the desire to dominate others, avarice, all these negative desires and emotions, you know, anger, you know, resentment, jealousy and all that, is predominant in the personality of the reptilian groups. And high intelligence, no question about it, but they're emotional beings who are largely ruled by the negative emotions, whereby humans are much more, to a much larger extent, ruled by the heart. And the higher emotions, you know, love, charity, you know, forgiveness and all that, okay? So that is the main deal. So the reasons these reptilian groups and their hybrids seem to, you know, don't seem to have any compassion when they inflict cruelty or you know, pain or death upon people. I mean, I'm sorry to say, but these reptilian groups, the negative ones anyway, literally eat human beings. It's part of their diet. They just take people apart and eat them. And
that's difficult for a lot of people, but people do that with animals, so just transmute it.
Yeah, you know? Just right, exactly. I mean, it's not okay, but they're at that level of development. The negative reptilians tend to look upon humans as certainly inferior to them by a wide margin, and probably just view us as more like, you know, animal stock, who we can function in society and do things and invent things and all that. So, but we're just a group to be conquered as far as they're concerned. They want this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been here a long time trying to go from a hidden presence on the planet, mostly underground, to a presence on the surface and literally take over the planet.
Yes.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Now, in light of the fact that we're out of time, and really, we've covered the reason why all these other things are going on.
Yep.
And I'm not the only one. You're not the only one saying this, Ken. There are a lot of other very well educated, expert people in the medical community, in the scientific community, even in the financial community, that describe certain events that support what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
One would say, well, you know, you all must be delusional. Well, they'd like you to believe that if you find this difficult to accept based upon your experience and based upon your familiarity with the topic. Yet, you know, again, I revert back to the statement I made at the top of the show that, we're not asking anyone to believe this. The system that they're running and controlling the world by is a belief system. And it's not based upon knowledge. It's about the information and the programming and the control that they exert through every aspect of your lives that keeps you from being able to discern what's really going on. And we've stepped outside the box and we've analyzed what's going on. And we've talked about it in a sense, not of fear or fear mongering, but facing it and looking at it and deducing that in nature, nature does, species do not attack their own kind merely for the sake of eliminating them. You have rivalries, of course. A lion, a male lion will move into a pride and it will take over, the pride if it's possible, but it has to do so by challenging, the leader of that pride. Usually it's an older lion that can't put up the fight, but right. Until that lion succumbs, he rules the roost. And, the first thing that will happen after that new male, and usually a younger male, that will challenge to, because he's got an inbred drive to procreate, to produce his own kind.
Yep.
And so he will murder, or he will challenge that lion, not necessarily kill the lion, but
right.
Try to injure it, try to
defeat it,
and take over the pride. And the first thing that lion will do is kill any lion cubs, usually the male cubs, that could grow up to be a challenger. Well, they do this in governments, too. They're doing this to microbiologists right now. They're doing this to bankers. They did this to my publisher, editor at the Idaho Observer, to stop the truth from getting out, or to stop challenges to this very sinister plan. And every time I go down this path, researching who these people are, making all of these proclamations of national emergencies or worldwide pandemics or whatever, it's always tied to money and control. And you have to be insane to not see the writing on the wall that if you're in the process of destroying humanity, you're destroying yourself. And if you're doing that and you're willing to do that, then are you who you say you are? And that's the issue. Now, as a wrap up here, I want to let our listeners know that you and I are going to be doing 3 hours of broadcasting on another network. I'm actually guest hosting for Dr. H. Huat at republicbroadcasting.org on Thursday. And the show is called The Story Behind the Story. And Ken is, you are going to be my guest on that show on Republic Broadcasting Network, as well as on the Rent Radio Network later that evening. We're doing 1 hour. So we're going to be doing 3 hours on this very specific topic. And we're talking about the ET aspect of this whole story. And there's going to be some really shocking and revealing information coming out, isn't there?
Yes, yes. We have a guest who will reveal some startling and remarkable information.
So you and I have had a chance to study that information, and it is very remarkable, and mm-hmm. and it helps connect the dots. So if you're interested in this topic and you really want to understand what's going on, knowledge is power. And that's what this guest is going to be bringing forth, knowledge through experience. Can't buy that education. Can't buy it. But we'll, based on the research that I've done, I can tell you it's interwoven with all the other things that I've researched and written about. Every single topic, and I'm sure you'd agree.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, closing comment, Ken, and then we've got to say goodnight.
Well, I'll just remind everyone to become educated about the reality of the dangers of particularly the swine flu vaccine and the ineffectiveness of any vaccine. I have a page devoted exclusively to swine flu articles on my website. You can access it. You can link to it from my current news page. And once you get on that page, scroll down to the papers, articles, and video clips of Gary Null. Now, of course, I have a number of very important papers by Dr. H. Huat, who has done a tremendous job in exposing this first the swine flu hoax, but especially the dangers of the swine flu vaccine and how it was developed and who developed it and what's in it, et cetera. The worst mistake you can make is to think this swine flu vaccine will protect you. It will not. It will not protect you from anything. However, it will poison your body. And depending on your genetic makeup and your body's ability to tolerate a tremendous toxic assault, your reaction may be anywhere from, you know, just a mild soreness in your arm to developing the flu symptoms to a point of being life-threatening, like 106 degree temperature fevers, which many of those men on that Navy ship we talked about back in late April, early May of this year experienced when they were vaccinated with swine flu. It can be anywhere from that to the sort of neurological damage that Desiree Jennings encountered. You can see her video from my website or just Google the name Desiree Jennings. She's all over the internet. She's one case, but there are many people who have suffered vaccine damage. Many people have died from within hours of taking this swine flu vaccine. It's a huge error of judgment to take this vaccine, and the mainstream is lying through their teeth. I've never seen such a level of mendacity in my entire life than what's taking place. They're telling the public that people, you know, like Truot or I or anyone who's cautioning against the vaccine, we're all conspiracy wing nuts, we're zealots, we're crazy, we don't know what we're talking about, we don't have any scientific, you know, proof of our alley. Oh, the truth is just the opposite. All of the science, and Gary Null points this out very well in his papers, he has 200 peer-reviewed journals to buttress his arguments that vaccines are utterly unsafe and completely ineffective.
And obsolete, too. Yes.
I mean, you're right. So I'll close with that. Tell everyone you can. Convince them that there is this huge snow job propaganda, unprecedented propaganda. These people are being coerced, pressured, paid. Otherwise, they're selling their souls to put out this propaganda message of, you got to get this vaccine. There's this terrible pandemic. You're going to die if you don't. It's a lie. The whole thing's a lie. Don't get the vaccine. Don't poison yourself. You're going to survive fine without the vaccine.
Well, Ken, I want to thank you for appearing on Evident Footprints and for the work you do. I'm honored to have you on the show and also to have you as a friend and a fellow researcher and collaborator in this very difficult research. I want to let the listening audience know that they can check out your website by going to educate-yourself.org, and also that you're going to be on the show next Thursday, the 12th of November. So I'm looking forward to that interview, as well as the one this coming Thursday, the 5th. We will be on, again, two shows, The Story Behind the Story on republicbroadcastingnetwork.org and also on the Rents Radio Network in the evening. Just visit those sites and check the times. So thank you, Ken. And
thank you, Dan.
Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, also on Windtalkers Radio Network, and blogtalkradio.com. Want to give out a special shout out to our friend in the Ukraine for setting us straight on the story of what's really going on there, and thank them for helping us dispel the fear that's being created by all the lies that are coming out, both in the media and the alternative media. They do infiltrate. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night on Evident Footprints when my special guest will be Miss Julie Dennis. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.